Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the words of the Old Testament lesson just read, especially verses 11 and 12 of 2 Kings 5. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and raise his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Carphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And this ends in sight. For Naaman, the commander of the armies of Syria, it was a most humiliating experience. Think of it. He had traveled all those long and dusty miles from Damascus to Samaria in search of a cure for his leprosy. His arrival in Israel had caused quite a stir. In fact, he had nearly given the king of Israel heart failure with his letter from the king of Syria. And now he stood before the door of the house of the prophet Elisha. And not only had the prophet refused even to come out to greet him, but he had told him that all that he needed to do was wash himself 7 times in the waters of the Jordan River. And Naaman had certainly expected far more than that. He wished to see a more spectacular show of the power of this, the God of Israel. There was no calling upon the name of the Lord and no hand waving. There was nothing but this request. Go, wash yourself in the waters of the Jordan. But the Jordan was such a muddy and insignificant stream compared to the great rivers of Damascus. And so this was surely an insult. The Naaman was angry, and he wished to turn away and return to his land. But his servants encouraged him to follow the prophet's directive. They told him, "You have come this far, and if he had asked you to do some great thing, you would not have hesitated to do it." And so Naaman followed their advice, and he went down, and he washed himself and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. He was healed. And he went away confessing, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel." And so the word of the Lord to the prophet Elisha found its power in the waters of the Jordan. Now this account of Naaman, the Syrian, a very familiar account, I'm sure, to all of us, must bring to our minds the question, where is your Jordan? So Naaman's reaction is, in reality, a microcosm of the reaction of the world to the way in which God deals with his people. How often do people not go around looking for miraculous signs and wonders? They want the spectacular, the show, the thunderous voice of the Lord upon the mountain. What of the church? The church also is very often caught up in the same sort of thing. It looks for success in its patented programs or in its beautifully worded campaigns. It sees its success and what is important in the beauty of its church buildings or in its institutions, or in the number of people that it has brought into its doors, or even in the amount of money that it's been able to raise. But all of those things really must pale in insignificance when we consider the way in which God makes his grace known to us. Indeed, our preoccupation with all of these other things should show us that we too need to be washed just as Naaman was. But the washing that we need goes far deeper than the washing of a diseased skin in the waters of the Jordan River. And it is a washing that we have already received. Over 700 years after Naaman stood in the waters of the Jordan, another one stood in those same waters. And the heavens were open, and a dove descended from above. And the voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And it is in him that we truly find our joy. For he is the sign of God's love to the world. And we have been washed in him by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He is the center, the source, the reason for our faith, our life, and our hope. Naaman the Syrian went away on that day so long ago, thanking God for his miraculous goodness. How much more should we not give thanks to the Lord every day for his goodness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and in our baptism into his name? And that is the message that we must always preach. The simple and powerful message of the cross and of the empty tomb and of our Lord Jesus Christ, into whom we have been baptized. For there indeed is our Jordan. It is, as the hymn writer put it so many years ago, "Let me not doubt, but trust in thee, thy word cannot be broken. The call rings out, come unto me, no falsehood hast thou spoken. Baptized into thy precious name, and my faith cannot be put to shame, and I shall never perish. In Jesus' name, amen."